Business Source is proudly sponsored by JCH Communications. When it comes to marketing, we mean business. From websites to videos, we can guarantee you a return on your investment. Take a look now on our website at our video, www.jch.com.
Welcome to Business Source, brought to you by Connecting Business, the show that gives you authentic conversations to help your business. And as usual, there's no smoke and mirrors, just real people sharing their experiences. I'm your host, Lee Nightingale, and today I'm delighted to be joined by serial entrepreneur, Rivers Corbett. Rivers is founder of Cheftorial, an online chef learning experience, which I've tried and used, and founder of Headspace for Entrepreneurs. There's a theme there, entrepreneurs. So there's way much more to him, and I'm so looking forward to going into more of those different areas with him and hearing his journey. So Rivers, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Lee, great to be here. And you forgot to say, not that you forgot it, but also based out of, Canada. So happy to be a Canadian entrepreneur on your show, dude. Thanks for the opportunity.
No worries. I mean, the whole point of the show is to be for everybody, inclusive, for all, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I want to chat with people from all walks of life, all countries, experiences, man, woman, child. It doesn't matter. I mean, we've all got so many, so varied different experiences in life and business. I'm just excited to learn from everybody else and hear their journeys and hopefully become a little bit wiser along the way. if you could just share with us a short synopsis of what you're up to today, and then I'd like to sort of take you back to where that began right up to present day.
Yeah, so thanks, Lee, again, for bringing me onto your show. What I spend a lot of my time doing today is I'm a chef pimp. I run a chef talent agency. And I'm the furthest thing from a chef you'll ever find, which is kind of ironic. I mean, my friends find out that my business career, and it spans over 20 years, is running a chef talent agency where I literally know nothing about cooking food. They just laugh about it, but I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a businessman, and you don't have to know everything. You just got to love the journey you're on, and I do. Mm-hmm. And so what we do today is to provide virtual, engaging, live culinary experiences, primarily for the virtual event space. We are starting to get into other niches, but that's what we primarily focus in on. We operate in three countries, Canada, the US, and the UK. And so that's where I literally spend, I'm going to say, 90% of my time, because my kids are older. I'm an empty nester. I don't have the challenges that people are going through that journey. And I know you and your wife are. And it's a great journey. It's a lovely journey. But so I'm able to really focus in. This is Rivers 3.0 that I'm into right now, and really, really loving every single second of it.
You've gone through a few iterations or upgrades. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I did mention there that I've experienced that Cheftorial. I had a fantastic experience along with my mother-in-law with one of your chefs, Chef Gillian. She was just so wonderful. I would say that I'm an above average male in the home cook. I'm reasonably confident. I can generally open the fridge and make stuff out of whatever's in there and make it taste okay. But there's some fundamentals to cooking, which if you get wrong, just mess the whole dish up. Either the process and when you put stuff in, or certain seasonings that just simply don't work. And we came on because we were quite specific. We wanted to learn about gravies or and what the difference is between those. And Chef Gillian was so wonderful. She's really warm and engaging, and really walked us through the process in a language that we could understand and at a pace we could follow.
I love it. Yeah, that's very interesting, Lee, thank you for reinforcing that, is that that's part of our journey, is we're not a cooking show. It's about engaging, connecting with people so that they learn They have fun and they roll up their sleeves and they make it all happen. So I love that you referenced that point. That's how you felt, not just what you learned. And
absolutely, yeah. You know, I felt we got out of it in terms of the net product, what we wanted to learn, but along the way, we felt welcome in our home, because she was in our house, we were in hers, you know, virtually. But we felt like we'd made a friend, and that's really important, because you know, there's quite often when it comes to cooking that, you know, you go to a restaurant, you have something to eat, and you're like, wow, that's amazing, I wonder how they made that. Or you buy something over here, we've got some retail, not necessarily retailers, but places online where you can order stuff and it comes and it's beef Wellington frozen, right, that you just cook. I mean, it's a really difficult dish to make. So it's really wonderful that you're providing this platform, this vehicle, if you like, where you can get inside the chef's head and say, right, can you break it down for me in a language that I can understand, where we can pause, make notes. It's huge advantage, and I'm extremely excited to do more, and we'll be doing more.
That's awesome, dude. You just gave me a great commercial, by the way. I know I'm going to get a copy of this discussion today, and I'm going to say, you want to know how it's done, talk to my buddy Lee, send him the
absolutely
link.
yeah but so did this evolve out of something else? Were you doing something similar pre-COVID, where chefs were going to, I wouldn't say to people's homes maybe, but to site, if you like?
Yeah, the answer is yes. For the past 20 years, through our Chef Talent Agency experience, we started our business around the time the Food Network was really starting to get its feet under its ground, and on the ground, sorry. And so there's a lot of buzz around chefs. And so we saw an opportunity to bring chefs out of the kitchens from you know, restaurants, from convention centers, whatever, and really give them an opportunity to shine in the marketplace. And they loved it. Both organizations loved it. The chefs loved it because they get to brag and do what it is they do well at, and also and get paid for it, as well as the audience getting the value of, like you said, being able to talk to the chef and see them. And it really became a great theater. And so, for 20 years we did that. And primarily where we found the opportunity was in businesses. Grocer chains, as an example, would hire us a lot to help to educate their clients on new foods. Maybe doing different dishes with existing foods, all about educating their clients. So obviously they start to use the food more, they think about it differently, and they come and buy it more. So that's really where.
Our tech has bugged out. Let's hope you come back. We will edit this out. Do you still hear me, Rivers? Hello. So after some internet failures, getting back to Rivers. So Chef Tori is clearly online, and were you doing a similar sort of model, if you like, pre-COVID, but face to face? What was happening with that there?
Definitely that. So for 20 years, it was totally offline. It was in your face. It was handshakes. It was smells. It was everything that's not virtual. Had a great journey with it. We worked with one of my best clients was Canada's second largest grocer. We provide chefs to do cooking classes for them in their stores. Literally, Lee would do hundreds of them a week. And so go here, chef, 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 chef. And it was just like being, you know, a traffic cop trying to organize everything, and other organizations. So it really became a B2B model rather than a B2C model of organizations that were looking to educate their clients on how to use food differently, how to think about food differently in a way that could obviously increase repeat purchases, but also have people think about using things like Swordfish that they might never think about before as a premium product. So COVID comes along and says, Mr. Corbett, we're going to test whether or not you're a good entrepreneur, as you say you are, or a great entrepreneur, as you tell everybody you are, because it's another part of my journey where we're going to get into. And so took it all away. Gone. Seven-figure annualized income, or sorry, gross income, gone within 2 weeks. And
crazy.
Yeah, it's just crazy stuff when you think about it, because as it's happening, I'm like, no, this isn't really happening. It's going to be 2 weeks, whatever. We all go
denial.
Through.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all denial. And then it stops. And so fortunately, I was already in the mindset of, okay, well, how do I ultimately build this business so I can work anywhere, anytime, and was already thinking about taking things online. I hadn't really dug deep into it, but I knew I had a foundation of great knowledge over 20 years about how to do it, how to deliver it. And it's not just about getting chefs. It's about getting chefs that know how to communicate, that are talented in the kitchen, but also connect with the heart, as you talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things I always like to say is, you know, I've got 2 degrees, and the smartest professors were the PhDs. The worst professors, though, were the PhDs, because they just couldn't connect with the heart and the head. And so we brought the whole model online, and they are literally live, every one of them. They're interactive. You engage with the chef, you connect with the chef, you roll up your sleeves, and you are the sous chef with the chef making an amazing meal that you're going to get to enjoy yourself. So this is how we've been able to replicate that in your own kitchen as we're going through this time period. And the space that we found opportunity for us is in the virtual event space with organizations that typically organize large events, but they need food as part of that. And that's what was missing. How do I bring the food and beverage experience into these events? Easy to bring a chef in, as I talk, but it's the experience that you walk away and you say, whoa, that was a lot of fun. And so we're now in 3 countries, and UK is our newest one, and Canada and the USA, and just having a great time. Because now I can really take this model anywhere, anytime. You know, I'm thinking Australia next, maybe Europe. That type.
Absolutely. And again, speaking from the heart, in terms of the experience that I had, you know, I felt that I wasn't sort of lagging behind a class where mine was turning out worse than everybody else's, and I'm panicking. And I'm thinking, oh, now I've ended up with the net result of what I didn't want, and you know, and now I'm disengaged from the chef and the rest of the class, and I come away thinking, well, the idea was great, but in reality, it didn't work. But with yours, with Chef Gillian, it did, because we went at our pace. It wasn't about the chef's pace. I mean, there's obviously a process to follow through, but she was absolutely, you know, thoroughly encouraging, reassuring, calming. And we could take pauses and go off on side tangents, ask questions, hugely interactive, which put our minds and hearts at ease, put the pressure off, and actually turn the whole experience into fun,
right?
Whilst being educational. So huge kudos to you for that.
You know something, Lee, you mentioned that you and a mate of yours we're gonna talk about doing some of the other things. I always say in business, I say many things in business, but one of them is that the first order is great, but man, that next order is fantastic, because it means that you did it right the first time and somebody wants to order again. So I'm glad you reinforced
that. It's the part, the end of the rainbow, isn't it? Recurring revenue, people coming back, spending more with you. And having them feel like they want to part with their hard-earned cash for that product and service, which, you know, I've spoken about this with many people that have listened and indeed on this podcast, but about environments or people selling a product or service where they lure you in with a discount to start with and then hike the price up from there on in, you know, that doesn't make me feel like I want to spend more
Right.
money. Not
Right.
at all. So yeah, I'm very excited to do my next class and
Cool.
many, many more.
Love it.
The other business that you're involved in, the Headspace for Entrepreneurs, I've not really had huge amounts of time to get involved with that. So perhaps you can treat me as a
Sure.
newbie, if you will, and explain what that's about.
Yeah, well, thank you for that opportunity to do that. So, in order to really understand that, I got to take it back a bit. You know, I'm a believer that everybody has a talent that they're born with, and it's up to us to discover what that is, and then serve the world with it. I was born to be an entrepreneur, bar none. It's in my DNA, and I was the entrepreneur in residence for the university in the province I live in. I also was the entrepreneur in residence for the government. I ooze the desire to serve entrepreneurs and to help them be successful. And so one of the ways I do that is that I started I'll call it a social organization. It's a community that I call Headspace for Entrepreneurs, where entrepreneurs from around the planet come together and engage with each other in a way that brings advice, brings support, but also brings money. And we call it Headspace for Entrepreneurs. I also have a podcast with the same name, and it's really much a servitude. It's my hobby. I talked about focusing on Cheftorial, but when I'm not focusing on that, besides my family, I'm focusing in on Headspace for Entrepreneurs because I love serving entrepreneurs and helping them to be successful. And so we have entrepreneurs from around the planet that are, and it's a group of about 1,200 people right now. And like I say, we engage, we learn, we support. But again, the emphasis, we also sell. This is a group that is all about making money too. I always get a little freaking annoyed, to be quite honest with you, when you get involved with business Facebook groups or whatever, and they said anybody caught selling something is going to be banned to Siberia for years. It's like, this is a business group, for goodness sakes. You're supposed to be selling. So
Yeah, I've been
anyway,
involved in several networking groups where they're like, we're not here to sell to one another, we're here to share with each other what we do. I understand that to a degree, but everybody's working in sales, as Neeraj Kapur says. We're always selling, we're always looking to see if we can help others sell to others.
Sure.
So yeah,
And
you
as
have
long
to
as
have
it's
that
done
mindset.
respectfully. Look, if somebody was on there,
yeah
like there's one guy I got in there, he's always, buy, buy, buy. Yeah, you can do it in a subtle way. You can do it in a respectful way that protects the integrity of the organization. And that's really, I think, what that's about. So yeah, you can go to H4E, that's headspaceforentrepreneurs.co, and we'll let you
Nice.
in if you want to come and be a part of it.
Fantastic. Because being an entrepreneur, as I am, since I've
As you
started
are.
my own business, and I'm involved in a couple of other sort of charitable things as well. And it can be a lonely place, right? So because you're the one that's sort of steering the ship, coming up with all the ideas, hopefully you're encouraging people around you within your team to come up with ideas, but ultimately the responsibility is yours. And it can be a bit of a lonely place. And the only other people that can understand what you're going through is other entrepreneurs
Right.
that you can, you sit there and you're sharing a story and everybody's nodding their head because, yep, I've been there
Yep.
too. I've been through it. And as much as I respect the employees, don't necessarily get the opportunity to experience some of the things that we as entrepreneurs do, and all the risks and everything associated with it. So it's wonderful that you've created this environment,
Thank you.
a safe space, if you like, where people can come together and sort of bounce ideas off one another and sort of share their visions and get feedback.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's organically grown. It's not meant for me to lead it. It's meant for me to ultimately, I guess, lead it. There's a part where you have to, but I want it ultimately organically to grow, where people are inviting other people, they're engaging with other people without promptings from me. I participate also, and that's what's happening. I mean, I think it's so cool when you get I don't know, the other day I got somebody from I'll just throw it up, Austria. Like, how the heck is somebody from Austria find me? Because people tell them, right? And that's how it works. And so there's great value in that stuff. So thank you for letting me share that that service.
No problem. I mean, heck, I'm a CRM consultant, and yes. I recorded a podcast with a bird watching tour guide in Lima, Peru.
Yeah.
I mean, you would never ever have put us together. No. Similarly with us, you know, had Michael Haynes put us together.
Who's in Australia? Who's a Canadian in Australia?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But speaking of Canada, you're massively involved in Startup Canada, right?
Yeah, I was massively involved. Startup Canada is the voice of entrepreneurs from coast to coast to coast, east, west, and north for our country. And it has a large membership base in all supporting. It's a social enterprise. And so I was a founding board member of that organization and quite engaged with helping them to not only strategize, but also to execute the growth. I was their podcast host for over 3 years, met and talked to some incredible people, unbelievable individuals. And so, yeah, just up until the group's, I think now is 8 years old. And so just up until last year, I was very, very much involved with the organization. And then it was just leadership changed. And so I felt it was time for me to move on also and put more focus in on Headspace for Entrepreneurs.
It's okay to leave organizations. It's a part of progress and development. It makes us into who we are. You know, we can't continue to do everything. We wouldn't have the headspace on the phone.
That's right. You got it.
Just give us a sense of what that organization's there for and who it's to support.
Yeah. So, you know, you touched on it, Lee, to start off with entrepreneurs, understanding entrepreneurs. And there's a lot of great business organizations across our country, chambers of commerce, you know, banking organizations, et cetera, but none that really understand the journey of quote unquote the entrepreneur. And so this organization, because it's driven by entrepreneurs, because it's driven with an entrepreneurial strategy, represents the journey of those people to other organizations who need to know about what this is all about. And so we address those journeys to these people, but then are able to get back the needs that the entrepreneur has. They're also being served. So it's the entrepreneur's needs are ultimately being served through that strategy. And so, you know, government's a big one, obviously. I mean, you talk about being non-entrepreneurial, yet so critically important for the underlying economy of our organization. I mean, you know, in our government, at least for the longest time, the Department of Small Business was in the same office as tourism. Like, just make no sense at all. 99% of the economy is driven by small business, and here it's just kind of wrapped up into. So it becomes an advocate group, a lobbyist group. It becomes an educational group. It becomes a networking group. You talk about selling. Yeah, I know people across the country who are well connected with me that I can work with them to execute some of the things that I need to. And so that's really what it's about is understanding the needs of the entrepreneurs and go out and try to serve them, serve those needs through this large organization.
Fascinating and interesting point you made there about 99% of businesses being small business. It's a similar sort of stat over here in the UK.
Right.
Of which, if I read right, something like 70% and above are one-man band.
Yeah, believe it.
That don't sell outside the country. So, and yet the feeling that we get is that our voice is not being heard within government.
Right.
That all of the legislation is all for mid-size and particularly enterprise. In fact, it's the enterprise companies that are dictating the legislation. You know, we've just had the troubles of Brexit and still ongoing.
Right.
And of course, it was all of the big enterprise companies that were moaning and complaining and saying it's going to be awful and horrible to do business and all the rest of it. And because they're the ones doing cross-border transactions.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Not thinking of the other 99, you know, the other 99% of businesses who don't do cross-border.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So
the voice is loud.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue about, well, some of their produce or products or components or whatever coming in from other countries, or indeed their employees maybe coming in from outside the UK, which I respect and I get that, but the product is being sold in, you know, inside these shores. So fantastic that you've been able to sort
yeah
of...
there used to be Lee, a Startup Britain. We're not the only country that has a startup organization. Startup Britain used to be quite robust, but there's around 30 startup countries around the world. So your audience in the UK might want to just check that out. But just Google Startup Britain. I don't know if it still exists or not, but I know when I was starting Startup Canada, it was quite robust.
Fantastic. I'll get that checked out.
Cool.
So speaking of COVID. Oh,
yes, sir.
God, I don't want to get into the political, the economical, and all the rest of it. I want to stick with your personal experience and just really what this past 12 months, and I can't believe I'm saying that,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
What this past 12 months has done to you, for you, what you've done to keep yourself sane, motivated, healthy or not. What's been going on for you? And
it's, you know, when I'm asked that question, as I'm sure you have been asked numerous times too, the word blessing comes into my head 99% of the time. This last year has really been a great blessing for me because it has given me the opportunity to be laser focused on building a business where I can work anywhere, anytime. And it's also eliminated distractions for me to make sure that I'm focused in on the daily habits that need to happen in order for me to consistently build this business. And we're still growing. So that's the first thing that I would say. And then the second thing is taking it back to April, when this, you know, the reality of it all started to kick in. And my friend Haley said to me, Rivers, this is what entrepreneurs are made of. You know, we face pandemics every day. What's the difference to this day? They just happen to be things such as staffing, such as banks. There's just a different name for it. And so, you know, we're trained to deal with the punch in the nose. And so that really, just those two things really got me going, and in a way that I don't think I would have gotten going and had the success I had if it wasn't for COVID. So that's one thing. Along the journey, exercise has been critically important. I exercise every day. It's not much. I go for a walk for about 20 minutes and I do some stretches and so on. So about 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week. And that way it allows me to choose the day that I don't do it. But critically important is an understand that entrepreneurs, a large percentage of them, suffer from depression. And I'm one of them. And so that, and I don't, it's well under control. But if I don't do these things, by looking after my health, then I'm going back in there, particularly during COVID. There's so many people that poor things are suffering with depression right now. And one of your countrymen, you'll know it as soon as I say it, Richard Branson, I love the question he asks when he's in front of an audience sometimes. He says, what's the best thing you can do for your business? And nobody ever gets it right. Nobody ever gets that question right. And it's look after your health. That's the best thing you can do for your business. So those have been things, you know, my kids are all older, so I'm having adult conversations with them. I'm not worrying about them. They're employed. So I've been heads down building what I'm building and really feeling blessed for it. But look, I'm ready for it to get over also, I think, because remember, my business is all virtual. So I just got to figure out a way. How can I keep the interest in what it is that I'm doing? But
yeah,
I'm ready to travel, man. I want to come over across the pond and see you. That's what I want to do.
Rivers, I very much look forward to the day where we can get together, share a cocktail, and
Yes.
chew the fat, as we say, and really sort of chat about not just this past year, but really, I'm very much a look into the future kind of guy. Now, I really enjoy, and this sounds really weird, but I really enjoy going to old historical places, castles, churches,
Cool.
villages, towns, etc. I really like seeing them and appreciating them
Yes.
for their beauty and simplicity and efficientness. And I do stand there and I think, oh, you know, if these walls could talk, what stories would they
Yeah.
share? And I love thinking about that. But for me, then, once I'm away from that, I kind of, I'm not a living in the past traditionalist. This is the way it's always been done. Therefore, that's the way I must continue to do it. Golf is my main sport, for example, and there's so many different elements to that sport, which frustrates the heck out of me, because the clubs still think it's 1900, and it's
Yes.
not. And despite how much, you know, people moan and complain and send emails and get on committees and everything like that, they just will not change. It takes forever for a policy to change of making so that men can wear black socks instead of white knee socks and stuff like that. It's
Right.
outrageous. So I'm really looking forward to getting together with you and creating a future, visioning the future. You know, what's
Nice.
it gonna be like? Because I'm like, yeah, I want to be Marty McFly. I want to get in the DeLorean
Yeah,
and
dude.
get out there and see what our future has to hold.
I've met him actually, Michael J. Fox. I've met him. And he's a really cool guy, aka Marty McFly. We so know that part, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, because I mean, for example, I think in our lifetime, and we're already starting to guess, I see it with drones, but I think we'll have a flying car network. You know, I'm only 44 years young, soon to be 45 next month. And if I think back to the advances in technology from when I was, you know, 8, 10, 12, you know, in my early teens, thinking about the Commodore 16 computers and the
Yeah, dude.
BBCs and the Spectrums and all that kind of stuff, to where we are today in that 40 years' time, given what we've got available to us now, the knowledge and experience and tech, the leaps and bounds that we can make are just going to be remarkable. And I can't wait. And there's one that this is a real double-edged sword for me, and that is because I'm a petrol head. I love cars. I love driving as fast as possible to get to the speed limit, of course. Yet I hate the fact that this entire planet, the economy, is all around oil, and a lot of the political struggles are around oil, and
Yes.
wars are oil. And for me, space travel, you know, is limited because we still use rocket ships with fuel made from oil and that kind of stuff. So for me, I'm just super excited to wait for that period that will come whereby either the oil companies will say, hey, look, we've got this new tech that we've been holding back, and
Yeah,
because we're
right.
still making all this money. Or somebody like Elon Musk or something comes along and says, screw you, oil companies, here's the future. And everyone goes, boom, here. And you know, that's really what I'm excited for and can't wait for.
I love it. I love that you're thinking like that. And again, that's entrepreneurial. People say, what's the difference between an entrepreneur and a business person? That, my friend, you are the difference. It's called innovation. It's called forward thinking. It's not called making the donuts. It's called let's do some cool things together and go. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's an entrepreneur. Your host is an entrepreneur because he embodies the excitement around doing that. I think that's
Absolutely.
that's really
And I
cool.
guess leadership and from the conversations we've had, I know that you feel the same. Leadership is saying, well, innovation is within me and I want to share that, but it's also within all of us and the possibilities
Right.
for everybody to contribute to that innovation. I've always had the belief that I don't know everything. I don't want to know everything. I've got a group of people around me, a team that have some wonderful experience and knowledge and experience. And if they've got an idea that they think is either a good direction for our company to go in, a new service, a new product, then for me, absolutely. Tell me all about it. How do you think we should deliver it? What value do you think it brings? And if it makes sense, boom, we're doing it.
Right,
It's got
on.
nothing to do with is it my idea or not. It's about does it make sense? Can we make it work? Is there a market for it? And if the answer is yes, we're doing it.
We go do it. Well, it's interesting you talk about that, Lee, because one of the other things I've talked about with COVID, it's the great equalizer, because we're now starting all of us from the same starting line, big, small, indifferent. And so you see a lot more of that happening now because people don't know what to do in a pandemic world or after. And so even the big organizations are struggling how to, I love where this world is going now, like you do, because of the technology that allows us to do what we're doing now. That's a real exciting time. So COVID, as I say, it's been a blessing. It really has. If you engage it in your mindset, it's been a blessing because of what it's created. Yes, there's terrible things going on. I understand that.
But it's forced people to make a change.
Yes. Yep.
Whereby, if you think about the conversations within these, well, it throughout all businesses, small, medium, and large, I don't care. It was present pre-COVID in all of those businesses, and that is the fear of allowing employees to work from home. They're like,
Yes.
oh, they're gonna be waking up late. They're gonna be in their pajamas. They'll do an hour, and their productivity is gonna go through the floor. And I, for one, am proud of the people that have said the proverbial two fingers up. No, that's not me. Yes, I want to have a nice work-life balance where I get time to spend some time with the kids. And there's people that I know of that commute an hour and a half to 2 hours each way
Nuts.
to work. And if you, you know, and they've got children and they're missing out on so much. And this period has been a huge blessing. They've been able to contribute to the upbringing of their children, and see them grow and develop and tackle challenges around the kids not being able to learn, about keeping them entertained. There's so many different everybody's almost had to become an entrepreneur because they've had to think on their feet around how do I do my job and how do I look after my family, friends, how do I stay safe. So we've all project managed, entrepreneured for this past year.
Isn't it great? I love it. The
It's
other thing
great.
is the great social experiment has been a success that nobody wanted to do. The other one that's been a success, at least in my country, I'm presuming it's in yours also, is isn't it interesting? All of a sudden, it's okay to have a doctor talk to you like this about what your condition might be, rather than, oh, I need, when 2 months before, could never do that. Not your wildest dreams. And now,
No.
so again, innovation, my friend, that has been a theme that we're talking about through your guidance, is bang on, dude. You got it. It's
And the
great
thing is
stuff.
that I don't know where that resistance came from, if I'm honest, because for me, for the doctors, it's keeping them safer because they're having less people with ooey diseases and whatever coming into the surgery, keeping other people safe, other patients coming into the surgery from ooey disease and things. And it's saving them time because it's literally, right, a 10, 15 minute Zoom call, ended, done. Ne
Yep, that's right.
next, next, next. Like a conveyor belt, you can get through so many different calls. The other thing that I'm interested to see over the next probably I think it's probably 3 to 5 years realistically is office space. You've got all
Yes.
these businesses that have got massive offices now that are saying, do I really need this big office? I probably
Yeah.
need half the size. So now all these cities, all these concrete jungles, what's going to happen? I
What do
mean,
you
for
think?
me,
What do you think's going to happen?
Personally, you're asking the
Yeah,
question.
yeah, yeah.
What I would want to happen is that they turn a huge chunk of it into housing,
Yeah, that's what I
apartments,
think is going to happen
social
too.
housing. Yes, you got to repurpose the building, whatever, don't care, make it happen. The building is there, it's safe, it's four walls, it's got kitchens and all of that. So the plumbing's already in there, there's bathrooms, restrooms, whatever, already in there, the plumbing's already there. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean to say you shouldn't do it. We've got this global housing crisis where there's just not enough housing for the planet, and we've got so many people that are living on the streets or in shanty towns and all the rest of it. Get them out of there, get them into a proper home.
Yes, sir. Yep, and the infrastructure to support them is all right there now. So I'm with you, man. That's I think exactly what's going to happen. You're going to get into housing opportunities, and that's going to eliminate all kinds of people, not because they're now doing so much work remotely. There's not going to be cars all over the place. You talk about the footprint, all that stuff. I think it's going to be. So I think it's been interesting to be part of this movie we're in now. How is exciting is it going to be part of the movie and once in the next 5 years? Whoa, that's going to be cool.
But you also think more people in the cities living there as people, as residents, rather than employees coming in to go to work, maybe buying some lunch and then going home.
Going home.
Now you're talking about a whole wider economy because you've got residents, more residents in the city. Therefore, all the businesses there would do even better. The restaurants, the bars, the cafes, they would all have an even greater audience because people would now be living and working in the city.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I can't wait to be a part of it.
Yeah, me too. Rivers, thanks, man. It's been fantastic, and I'm so excited to have met you. Thank you for
You're
your
welcome.
leadership, for your strength, for your chefatorial, because that really helped me, and I'm so excited
Yeah, no problem. You
to
got
do that
kudos with
again.
your wife for that one too, didn't you? Because you brought in her mom.
Absolutely. But her
Hope you got some love from that, Mr. Nightingale.
and I my mother-in-law and I we are both passionate cooks,
Nice.
and I'm delighted that that's something that we've been able to come together with over the last
Nice.
oh my goodness, six years. It definitely brought us together. We enjoy spending time together in the kitchen and helping one another. So this was
Nice.
just another wonderful vehicle to help us pursue that passion.
Well, and for your audience, you are coming on to my show, Headspace for
I am.
Entrepreneurs, because we're going to talk about your journey. So we'll cross over with the sharing. So we're going to get two chapters of this, ladies and gentlemen. I become the interviewee and interviewer, sorry. So thank you, sir, for giving me your time to do that.
Absolute pleasure, and it's going to be fun and interesting to be on the other side of the questions.
Thanks
Rivers,
for
thanks so much. I've really appreciated your time and had so much fun. You take care, my friend.
keep rocking, dude. Thank you.
Thank you.